The voice of the Blue Bombers one-on-one with Mike O'Shea. The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
The Coaches Show brought to you by DeKalb. They're ready to be your number one canola seed. 204-780-6868 for your calls and texts. For the head coach, Mike O'Shea, the Grey Cup has come and gone. The Montreal Alouettes, the Grey Cup champions of 2023, with the 28-24 win. Mike, thank you for being with us. 24 hours later, I want to say, how does it feel? But anything you want to say about the game or the season, just to lead us off.
Yeah, I don't. it's hard to describe, you know, still a little numb. Obviously, we didn't get the outcome we wanted. I don't know that we played our absolute best. I thought Montreal played very well. I thought they had dialed up a couple plays that worked. And, you know, we still managed to take the ball away from them, you know, three times, once on the one-yard line. They took the ball away twice in scoring position and comes down to the last, you know, them making a touchdown with 11 seconds to go or 13 seconds to go, whatever it was. It's tough to, you know, tough to swallow, but I imagine people would say, maybe not Winnipeg fans, people would say it was a great game, not for us. It's tough to see our guys, you know, hurting afterwards.
We were in the locker room afterward doing post-game interviews, and I'm a big softy. Brady Oliveira said, I feel like I let everyone down, and I get it, and I just hope he knows that as fans, we appreciate everything that they've given, even though in that moment it can't, I suspect you can't.
Yeah, there's a lot of love in that room. He's not alone. I'm sure a lot of guys, it's natural after you lose the big one, you know, or when you don't finish the season with a, you know, ultimately winning the championship, there's always, you know, in those final games, especially, there's always a lot of feeling individually about, you know, thoughts about what you could have done better. And, you know, you look around the room and you are obviously, you will always feel some sort of regret unless you win it all. And then you quickly forget those things. Like I said, there's a lot of love in that room, and the players will lean on each other and they'll, you know, figure out a way to try and get over this.
You mentioned the word regret. Dalton Schoen and Adam Big Hill were, I was on the radio and I was stunned that they were both playing, having watched them in practice and just seen. And then Adam told us afterward, he didn't even pack his stuff, that Brad Foddy packed it for us. As you look at it, any regrets about including those guys on the roster?
No, not at all. Not at all. Once again, there's this, you know, I've said this for a while. Our kids don't get kicked in the shin in playing boot hockey in schoolyard anymore. You know, they're not really allowed to do a lot. So I think it's important. I've said it before, I said it during the week. It's important that we let our guys be great for their teammates, you know, and we don't put them into harm's way. You know, if they're cleared, they're cleared. If they're not, they're not. But the amount of work that Dalton and Biggie put in to take the field, if they weren't ready, they wouldn't have done it. And they wouldn't put their team in jeopardy. And if we didn't think they were ready, we wouldn't have put them in. But when they show that they can play, I think it's important that we let them, you know, because it can provide a tremendous boost. One, most importantly, if you witness the amount of work that went into that, to them getting on the field, you know, why would we say no to that? You know,
I would assume you would say no if you thought he could not contribute as much as the guy behind him could.
Absolutely. And
however you evaluate that properly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, the everybody that needed to take a look to see him move around took a look and said, yeah, let's go.
And I've been talking about the game all day in various forms and in various, I would you treat someone like Adam Big Hill differently? Because first ballot Hall of Famer, legend, has given so much to the game. Would you, would he get more latitude for a decision like that?
It is different. It is different. It's fair. But as Richie Hall reminds me very regularly, fair does not mean equal. You have so much experience with this guy and seeing what he is able to do, that it makes that decision easier. And would it be the same with someone you know, it would not be the same necessarily. The outcome, the decision might end up being the same, but what into the decision might be maybe a little more arduous of a task, you know, especially if it's someone you didn't have as much experience or knowledge about, you know, how they're wired, how they're made up. With Biggie and with Dalton, you just, it was an obvious decision once you knew that they could actually perform their duties.
We have a couple minutes before we hit the first commercial break, so we'll go to the phone lines and we'll welcome in Gary on line number one. Gary, thank you for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, Mike, I want to thank you, all the coaches, all the players, for all the effort you put in this year. We came 11 seconds short, but people have to remember, every time they came to the game, they were entertained. They went home happy. People have to remember, before you came, we didn't see the win the Grey Cup for 29 years. With all that's going on in the world, people are dying in Palestine and Ukraine. We should be thankful that we have you as a coach. We have the great players. You entertain us and you bring joy into your life, our lives, all our lives. That's the most important thing.
Appreciate that, Gary.
And we'll be back next year, and you'll lead the way, and everybody will show up, and that's what makes us proud to be Blue Bomber fans.
Gary, appreciate it. Thank you so much for your call at 204-780-6868. It is 7:13. It will break. Plenty more with the head coach, Mike O'Shea, and your texts and calls at 204-780-6868. The Coach's Show at 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
The Coach's Show brought to you by DeKalb. Right now, save up to $50 a bag on DeKalb canola seed. Terms and conditions apply. 204-780-6868 for your texts and calls. We have a lot of callers, so please, if you would, be patient with us. We also want to hit the text line and Twitter at DTOnOB. The Dark Canuck says, why not challenge the no catch with 3:30 left? For folks who don't remember, 3:38 left in the fourth quarter. Montreal is 2nd-and-7 from their 50. Fajardo throws it to Tyler Snead, who has it, then Cramdy hits him, and the ball's in the ground, and the Bombers recovered, ruled incomplete at the time. So a challenge, if it was successful, would result in a turnover.
Yeah, I didn't see it as a catch.
I don't, 100% agree. It was not a catch.
Yeah, I didn't. Until you brought it up, I had never even thought of that. Never even thought twice about that. Because on the field at the moment, I was like, yeah, that's incomplete.
Yeah, that's what we saw in the replay. And I don't know if I feel like they paused to look at it, but there was no point where that was a catch in a football movement. Cramdy does such a good job to get that ball away from him that, I'm with you on that one 100%. At Winnipeg Gordo says, Coach, why do you feel punting the ball, the last play of the game, was a higher percentage play than Zach trying to throw it near the end zone?
Yeah, if you're not going to get it into the end zone, the game's going to end there, you know? So the ball has to get into the end zone. So the amount of time it would take for the receivers to get there and then Zach to stay alive, scrambling the rush and then get it 60 yards. The throw would be 60 something yards in the air probably, right? Because it was
the 50 yard line plus the diagonal plus yes. his drop.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, guys have arms in the CFL, but 60 is a hell of a throw.
Yeah. So if it comes down on the one, you know,
yeah,
the game's over. So
the jump ball at halftime of the Western final, it got to the end zone. Pretend that play happens at the -2 yard line. That ball gets knocked back to McInnes. He would have been out of the end zone.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, well, you can't count on that. So yeah. And I assume Jamison Sheehan's background means that guy can punt on the run.
Yeah. He's got good hands.
He made a good catch, yeah.
Yeah, he's got good hands. They're used to handling the football, handling a ball, and he can punt on the run. And, yeah, it's, you know, it's in the arsenal. It's end-of-game scenarios that there's multiple end-of-game scenarios that you practice on a regular basis, and that's, you know, certainly one of them.
And someone on Twitter had pulled out the video clip, the rookie, 96, Lual Ugwak.
Yep, points him out.
Recognized it immediately. Yep. That's the punter. You go, wow, yeah. That kid... That's a sharp play by a kid who
yep.
they could have been caught by surprise with Jamison's looks like a receiver, honestly. Yep. So, yeah, full props. But there's the answer to why not throw it into the end zone. Gail with us on line number 2. Gail, thank you for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Good evening, gentlemen. My heart went out to you guys yesterday big time. So sorry for the loss, but I have to say this. It was a great year. We didn't finish it. I get it. But it was a great year. I'm still a fan. Will always be a fan. Doesn't matter. Here's my wish for you guys. Wish number 1, for the American players, have a happy Thanksgiving. Wish number 2, have a happy and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And wish number 3, see you guys in 2024. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gail. Always appreciate your call.
Yeah, Gail, nice stuff. Join us at 204-780-6868. Ed is on the text line. Says, please ask the coach why there was not double coverage on Philpott. I would presume this means the final play of the game, but even in the larger context.
Yeah, you can't. You certainly can't double cover everybody. You know, we were bringing some pressure and, you know, trying to get the ball out of his hands a little quicker.
There are folks in the Canadian Football League who watch observers who haven't thought much of Cody Fajardo in the last couple of years, but that pass, to me, he's always been an accurate passer, and that pass is this far. My fingers are very close together for folks at home, this far ahead of Demario Houston's hands. You go, if that ball's not on target, that's a hell of a throw in the most clutch of circumstances from Fajardo.
It was, yep. The precision on that was top notch.
Yeah,
for sure.
Paul with us on line number 3. Paul, thank you for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hi, I just wanted to talk about the two types of disappointment. The fan disappointment is like this. Ah, rats, we lost by 4 points. You know, I think I'm going to take the dog for a walk. And then there's the team point of view. And anyone who's played team sports knows that hurt when you come so close, especially when you go through training camp and you make the team, and you go through training every day in the hot sun and the rain and in the snow. You learn the playbook. You don't have any time to yourself. You're in the weight room. You're flying across the country to different games. Your family, or in many cases, is at home. They don't even see you play. You're away from your wife and kids, perhaps, or maybe just your parents, your friends. You got to take all that into account. This really, really hurts to a member of a team, and I think we have to acknowledge that, and not just the players, but the coaching staff as well. So, you know, I want to say to you that I understand that hurt, but I also want to say that the Grey Cup is only the second most important game of the year. It's the Banjo Bowl. And we kick butt.
Yes.
And
I like that. Paul, I might reverse that, but the Banjo will be the number 2 most important game of the year, but I like where you're going with that one, Paul. Appreciate you giving us a call at 204 780-6868. Reuben is on the text line. After we scored the touchdown with a few minutes remaining in the game, as I see it, it was 5:15 on the clock. Wouldn't conventional wisdom tell you to go for the two-point convert to give a four-point lead as opposed to a two- or three-point lead? You're shaking your head.
Yeah, no.
That one, Reuben, I don't get. I'm the biggest proponent of two-point converts in the history of the world.
If you go for two and don't get it, the field goal wins it for them. So the single, I understand if you go for two and get it, they've got to score a touchdown, but it's you would never put yourself in a position to lose on the kick, on their field goal. You know what I mean? You wouldn't short yourself so that you would lose on only a field goal attempt.
Yeah.
So, that thought would never cross my mind, or it would never be part of the thought process.
Well, and then I don't know how strongly it applies to the CFL, but studies in the NFL have showed you'd rather be up three than up four, just because it changes how the opposing team goes after you.
Yeah, then you'd be in three down territory the rest of the drive, right? Which is a little tougher, obviously. Three downs to make 10 is now you're into NFL modes.
Teams around the 40, Montreal didn't get conservative when they could have taken a field goal late. They could have just settled, but we're going for the end zone. Teams around the plus 40, plus 35 might just be a little more conservative on second and long and go, we can tie this game down three instead of, oh boy, we need a touchdown. It changes how the opponent approaches it in certain spots. So yeah, believe me, I love going for two every time, always, all the time. But
except this one.
this one, I don't know. I'll go in and look at it, but I don't know why I would particularly go in that direction. But I appreciate you being with us, Reuben. Thank you for your text at 204-780-6868. We'll take a break for the news. More with the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Your calls and texts, Rob and Burton and Bob, if you can stick with us, you're up next on the Coach's Show on 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
Tonight we've looked at a few showers and a low of minus two. Could be pretty windy tonight as well. Sunny and windy and one tomorrow. Sun, cloud, and zero Wednesday. And then the fun's over. Sunny and minus eight on Thursday. It is currently six at CJOB. Welcome back to the program. Four games active at the Boston Pizza Sports Desk in the NHL tonight. Imagine that. The Oilers are having problems keeping the puck out of their own net. 3-3. They're tied with Florida still halfway through the second period. Halfway through the second, the Bruins and Lightning are tied at one. Late in the first, Rangers and Stars tied at zero in Dallas, while Colorado has a 1-0 lead in Nashville. And we also have a game in the MMJHL just getting underway. The Twins at St. Boniface. NFL Monday Nighter, Chiefs and Eagles tied at zero about midway through the first quarter. As we get back to the Coach's Show now with Mike O'Shea and Derek Taylor.
Coach's Show is brought to you by DeKalb. They're ready to be your number one canola seed. 204-780-6868. Your texts and calls for the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Before we get back in, Bombers on the wrong end of the scoreline. But Winnipegger Sean Jameson, Brandon Manitoba's Landon Rice, and former Bison Brock Gowanlock are now Grey Cup champions. So it's not the team that we broadcast and root for, but they are us. So congratulations to those three guys. If anyone wants, I have a great Landon Rice story about the time I drove him in my tiny car to Regina. Linemen shouldn't sit in subcompact vehicles, Mike. I don't know if you...
Not for that long.
No, not for 6 hours. Let's welcome in Rob is on line number four. Rob, thank you for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, Mike. Just wanted to thank you and your staff for a great season, and the boys, of course. It's a sad way to, or unfortunate way, I guess, to finish the season. But I'm not sure why the CFL does what the CFL does sometimes. Regarding the name on the cup, someone had said, I don't know if it's true or not, but if they, for example, if Adam couldn't play, his name wouldn't have been on the cup. I think it's pretty unfair because him and along with Dalton and whoever else were injured. I mean, that was the reason you guys got to the Grey Cup. And to not allow their names to be on it, I think kind of a bad thing. But
let him hit that for a sec, Rob. Let Coach
Shea talk about that for a sec.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? There's only so much space, and it's just I do not know if other names have been included at other times. My belief is it is the guys that are dressed for the game. The other thing that is I find tremendously unfortunate is the assistant coaches aren't on it, which is to me very disappointing that our staff would not get their name on it. But that's the way it is. The size of the base would be two or three times bigger if you did that, which I don't care. Make it bigger, know, include the people
they're big. They're big boys that carry it around. They can man up and
agreed.
What about I know, it's a different sport, but what about the NHL? Do you know if they put the non-playing players on the cup, or like say for example Stanley Cup?
Yeah, not sure, Rob. I found I talked to the man who knows, and it's the 45 guys, the guys on the game day roster. In this case, 45. Plus four officials from the club. So owner, president, general manager, head coach are the ones that go on the Grey Cup. The four is sometimes three community-owned clubs. But, yeah, it's the 45 from the game day roster for sure.
I think the NHL would probably do it the same. But if they didn't, simply you're talking 20-something rather than 45.
Yeah.
Right? So the plate would be smaller. The number of names on the plate would be smaller by a significant number anyway.
Yeah. All right, let's welcome in. Burton is with us on line number five. Burton, thanks for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, Coach. You guys did an awesome job. All the players, all the coaches did an awesome job. And I'm glad that you entertained us all season long. And as for the cup, I didn't think I would say this, but we should make a cup designed for Winnipeg only with every single staff member on that cup. Every single person that's involved with the Blue Bombers.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I'm a proud Blue Bomber fan. I just want to let you know that.
Yeah. And they don't get mentioned enough, but our support staff, the group that helps look after the players and manage the players, they do a fantastic job
everybody
for our group.
Everybody that's involved, Coach. Everybody's name should be on that cup. And we should make a cup for just for the Blue Bombers for Winnipeg. Just for this purpose.
We could start engraving the Banjo Bowl trophy.
Yeah, get some university students or and say, hey, I got some ideas for a design, and get the city involved, and hey, why not throw a party for you guys?
Yeah.
You know? Let the players know, hey, man, we're only human. We're not machines, but we sure act like machines. And sometimes, we win and we lose. But you know what? You entertained us all summer long. And I just want to let you know that.
I appreciate that. I would say none of our guys are in the mood for partying right now. But I do appreciate the sentiments. And we should recognize and thank, once again, there's a tremendous amount of support staff that sink everything they've got into this, too. They own their areas. They're champions, too, so.
Burton, appreciate you being with us at 204-780-6868. We're also on Twitter at DT on OB. Big C says, Zach really needs to focus on making better zone reads in the offseason. Way too many turnovers in the red zone. Red zone turnover. The interception by Ento was the one he wanted back. So may have wanted back, let's say.
Yeah, my opinion, everybody's heard it. To me, he's the best quarterback in the league. He's creative. He's a tremendous leader. He has vision. I think we don't get to where we've gotten to these last bunch of years without Zach Kolaris at the helm. So you have to let him work. You have to let him run the game, not just manage the football game. You have to let him be the guy he is, and that's obviously, I believe, the best. So,
I went back into it. plays that started in the red zone. Zach had four turnovers this season. He had four turnovers last season in the red zone. So, Big C, I don't know if it feels like it was more or what. It was the same number as it was last year for whatever that might be worth. Bob is with us online at number one as we continue on the Coach Show. Bob, thanks for being with us. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Thank you. First of all, Coach, I want to say thank you very, very much for a wonderful season. I've been a very long time season ticket holder, and you have provided so much excitement, not just you, but the team. And I'm hoping Wade can find a way to save a lot of the people. You know, already people are talking about Dalton Schoen and Brady Oliveira. Dalton and Brady, if you're listening, maybe you'll get a lot more money from Toronto or Montreal. But have you looked what it's cost to live there, to rent and everything? And also, you don't have a coach like we do here. Also, Coach, I'm hoping we can find a way to keep Kyle Walters. And I'm hoping that Buck is not getting itchy feet, because you've got such a hell of a good team there. And I hope you can keep the majority of them, because I could see them coming back for a fifth time next year, if for nothing else, for the coach they've got. You have a wonderful few months off, and hopefully soon we'll hear some good news about players such as Brady and Kyle Walters and certainly Dalton Schoen. We need those guys. I hope we can keep them. Thank you again, Coach. Enjoy the off season, and if you're taking your family for a nice warm vacation, you more than earned it. Your wife earned having some time for you, and I'm sure she's got a very long honey-do list for you.
Oh yeah, it's long. And yes, she has she's earned her time too. I do appreciate the call. It's one of the things you said was, you know, you've entertained us, and it really is the team. There, I imagine if anybody focused, there's nothing entertaining about me on the sideline. So
maybe going into overtime of the BC game,
yeah,
in week 18. Yeah,
I was excited about that one.
Yeah. What's it been like working with Kyle Walters all these years?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, we've managed to put together a team and keep a roster together. You know, Wade and Kyle, I've said this numerous times. Wade doesn't say no. He says, what do you need? You know, and Kyle and his group with Ted and Danny have managed to find very talented players and bring them in and get guys here in free agency. It's obviously we've got what I would believe to be the most talent on the roster across the league. So,
as your career progresses, do you have any desire to be a general manager, to be some Orlando Steinauer, the job he has in Hamilton, that kind of role?
Yeah, this is a pretty easy answer. Not the answer anyone wants to hear, but I've never once looked at the next job. You know, the focus is always on the current one, and that's by design, and it's easy. But a long, long time ago, I've said this, I've told this story. You would walk in and on teams that maybe weren't as successful, you would always hear through the walls the coaches looking for their next job, looking for their next job. And they have to, because coaches, unfortunately, it's a bit of a transient lifestyle, right? So they have to keep networking. And I always found that odd. I didn't have a great understanding of why, but I didn't really like it. And so you know, as we grew up in the coaching ranks with some of these guys like Steiny and Jason Moss, and we talked about these sorts of things together, it was always about, you know, remaining completely focused, 100% focused on the current job you're doing, so you don't miss an opportunity with the guys that you're in charge of now. Right? Mm. You can't divide your attention like that. And it may sound short-sighted from a business standpoint, but I think it's the opposite. I think if you remain fully committed to the job you're supposed to be doing, then good things happen. So yeah, I don't tend to look ahead at all.
204-780-6868. One more segment with the head coach, Mike O'Shea. It is the Coach's Show on 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
Coach's Show brought to you by DeKalb. Right now, save up to $50 a bag on DeKalb canola seed. Terms and conditions apply. We've got about six more minutes with the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Keith, you're up first. Thanks for your call, sir.
Thank you. And Coach O'Shea, I want to say congratulations on your time here in Winnipeg. You've brought us a lot of entertainment. Greatly appreciate it, and hopefully we can have another two appearances, because I want to see us in the Grey Cup in Winnipeg in 2025. And I just was wondering, the toss to Kenny Lawler in the end zone that led to the interception, was that a called play, or was that something that Zach was seeing? Because I saw an open player that had a clear shot to the end zone. I just was curious, like, was that a design play, or was that a play that Zach made on his own?
No, it's designed. I mean, on every play call, there are multiple options, right? The route combination as it unfolds versus the type of defense they're running will give options to the quarterback. So, I mean, Kenny was open. You know, and KB Nento made an incredible play to get back there and stretch out for a fingertip interception, right? So, but yes, the answer is on every play, there's multiple options. And it just depends on what the defense does that sort of dictates where that read takes the quarterback.
Keith, appreciate you being with us. Thanks for your call at 204-780-6868. Jack is with us. Jack, you're on with the head coach. Thanks for your call.
Do you think we would have won if we would have had two more minutes on the clock and Will Brady Elder and Zach Gerlhurst be coming back?
Zach's under contract. Brady is, you know, will be or might go to free agency. I'm not sure. Obviously, we will try to get him back. That's pretty early right now. It's, you know, 24 hours from a loss. So, those conversations I'm sure will happen. Two more minutes or 30 seconds less. Depends on how you look at it. Yeah.
Fumble. The Montreal player was basically making a pivot going upfield. That is a football move that is common to the game. So, and this is going to you, Derek Taylor. Do some research. Look at the yardage that John Cornish in 2013 had, and look at the yardage that Brandon Banks had in 2019. Those were MLP type of yardage performances that Brady Oliveira did basically one for one in terms of one receiving yard to one rushing yard for Banks, and only 100 yards off of the combined total of Cornish and Oliveira in 2013. The vote was bad in regards to the MLP voting between Oliveira and Chad Kelly.
Gregory, I would say don't focus on gross totals. I do not focus on gross totals. Look at Chad Kelly, what he produced every drop back and how many touchdowns he produced as the quarterback versus everybody else. He led more touchdown drives than everybody that's not Zach Kolaris. And 10.5 yards per attempt is an insane number in the Canadian Football League. Doug Flutie's best season might have been 9. Maybe. Chad Kelly was good with an undermanned receiving core. I don't want to talk too much more about that. Gregory, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate being with us. That was not a catch by Snead either. There's no way. Glenn is with us. Glenn, you're our last caller. Thank you for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate Mike O'Shea on his longevity with Winnipeg, and I hope that he stays around a lot longer. He's one of the best coaches that I think that we've ever had. And I wasn't in the Bud Grant era, but he's definitely up there. It's only six more wins to tie and seven more to pass. But I know the old-timers aren't going to like that, but that's another story. My question for you, Mr. O'Shea, is more maybe for Buck Pierce, but can you tell me two things? Number one, when on that play that Kolaris threw the interception in the end zone, when he was about maybe a foot and a half too short on the ball, was that on first down? That's my first question. Or was that second down?
Yeah, I think it might have been first down.
Okay, and then the second thing is that when you have a so-called Marshawn Lynch type of running back, and we were all thinking and referring back to what Pete Carroll did, instead of putting the horse and the bull in and running the ball, why bother, you know, like, why pass? Just run the ball, and right down their throats. You had three tries to get in there. I think you were on the 11 or the 9-yard line.
Yeah, we were on the 9.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I do believe that Buck all year has done a phenomenal job calling the games. And one of the things we talked about was not being predictable either, you know, and making sure. And I would never second guess that. It's, you know, I think it was a great play by the Montreal DB, you know, and they had made some great plays, you know, coming up to our game, leading into our game. But I'll never second guess that that play call. I think it's, you know, it was right there. It was right there, and then it wasn't. That's the way I see it. Yeah.
A few seconds left. I don't know if there's any message you want to leave us with or.
Yeah, it's probably the same message every single year, win or lose. And it's the support that the players and the team feels from the community and from the fans on game day, but from the community on a daily basis when everybody's out and about and they run into people. The love and support from the fans is it's very powerful for our guys. And you know, people talk about keeping teams together and they come back for their dressing room, and they do. But it's also a credit to our community that the players feel so welcomed here and feel so appreciated, and that's a reason why they come back too. So thank you very much. Thanks for all the support. Sorry we couldn't finish it off for everybody. I know it hurts you guys too.
This is the head coach, Mike O'Shea, the Coach's Show on 680 CJOB.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.